Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, Associate Editor of Charisma Magazine, and today we are continuing our ongoing coverage of the Global Church, a mini-series we're doing here with the Charisma News Podcast. We're looking at the ways that the Holy Spirit is moving across national boundaries and moving for the kingdom of God in many different earthly kingdoms around the world. And last time on the podcast, we started a little bit of an informal two-parter here. If you missed the first part, I recommend you go check it out, but it's not necessary. We're really focusing in on the country of Singapore. Now, last time we talked to Reverend Dominic Yeo, who's the senior pastor of Trinity Christian Center. Again, if you missed that interview, you can go to cpnshows.com or wherever you get your feed for the Charisma News podcast, and it should be in whatever the last weekday's postings were. But today, we're talking to a different pastor within the same country, Yong Tuk Yung. He's the founder and senior pastor of Cornerstone Community Church, and I think you'll find that what he says really complements and adds on to what we heard from Reverend Dominic in the last podcast. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. Both of these interviews blew me out of the water, and I think you're going to enjoy it quite a bit. So we'll get into my interview with Pastor Yong Tuk Yung right after this message from our sponsor.
Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. Their students are innovators, leaders, and dreamers who carry Liberty's mission into hundreds of professions. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is Liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Charisma to the number 49596. Again, text Charisma to the number 49596.
Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome over the Zoom lines today for today's call, we have Pastor Yong Tuk Yung. Pastor Yong, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Taylor. Thank you.
Well, it is a privilege to talk to you. I believe listeners of this series will know I've been talking to people from around the world doing incredible things for the body of Christ. And this is the second such interview that we've had with a pastor who is based in Singapore, which of course always means that we're on like a 12-hour time distance between us getting this set up. So it's early in the morning by me. It's in the evening by you. I appreciate you making time because it's so difficult on these ones to get everything set up. So,
my pleasure.
Well, I'm excited to hear from you. For listeners who may not be familiar with you and your ministry, you're the founder and senior pastor of Cornerstone Community Church. Maybe we could start a little by, can you just briefly share your testimony with the listeners?
Yeah. You know, my grandparents came to Singapore from Shanghai in the 1930s. They came to look for the better life. My grandparents were idol worshippers. And when they arrived in Singapore, they were contractors and they started a business. They did extremely well. When I was born, we moved over to stay with our grandparents. It's not unusual in Singapore to have two, three generations in staying in one home. But by then, the business had been well established. And we had this huge house with eight different bedrooms. But I'll never forget one room where my grandparents dedicated all their idols. And I remember as a young kid, my grandmother used to bring me into that room, make me bow down to those idols. And for some reason, I just didn't want to go into that room. I just dislike all these idols. But, you know, I was a young kid. And but we had a nanny who was looking after us. She was a Roman Catholic lady. And she had one of these crucifixes, you know, with Jesus still on the cross. I'm glad he's arisen from the dead. But she put it in my room. And I would ask her, I said, who's this man? She said, it's Jesus. He died on the cross for you. And I don't know, man, I was a young kid. I just love this Jesus. I don't know. I wasn't born again, for sure. I didn't know who he was, but I was just attracted to him. At the age of 16, I heard the gospel for the first time. Now, my mother got saved before I did. And when she got saved, you know, her whole attitude, nature changed. She was kind. She was gentle. And I, as a young kid, I said to myself, if this is what Christianity can do to a person, man, I want this. I want this. Okay. And at 16, I heard the gospel for the very first time. A lady explained to me what Jesus did on the cross. And my heart was burning. I can tell you this. And she said to me, she said, Takyun, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross? I said, I do. She said, do you believe that he rose again from the dead? Yes, I do. Do you believe that he is Lord and the Son of God? Yes, I do. And she said, would you pray this prayer after me? And of course, you know, I never prayed before. I don't know how to pray. So she repeated, she said a prayer. I repeated the prayer. And I tell you, when I said, amen, something changed inside of me. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know I was born again at the time, but something changed because when I walked out of that apartment, the sky was bluer, you know, the grass was greener, the birds were chirping. Everything was, everything seemed to be alive. And I was born again. All right. But my Christian life was very topsy-turvy. You know, one day up, one day down, one day up, one day down. And until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, my father passed away at the age of 50. He was very young, had a heart attack. And my life sort of tailspin downwards. I was in the army. And of course, in Singapore, you have to serve 2.5 years in the military. And I was serving in the military. And I tell you this, when he died, something snapped inside of me. And I picked up every bad habit in the army, every bad thing and every sinful thing I picked up in the army. And boy, I was in a mess. I tell you, I was absolutely in a mess. And then the charismatic renewal came to Singapore. This was in the late 70s, early 80s. And in those days, the Spirit of God was moving in a powerful way. I don't know if you have heard men like Colin Urquhart, Trevor Deering, Brian Bailey, Derek Prince. They were all in Singapore. I mean, it was an amazing time. And I went on a Friday night and I was invited to this meeting and by a friend and I was sitting in back and this guy gets up to preach and boy, I never heard preaching like this man. My heart was on fire. He closed the meeting. I said to my friend, is he going to come back tomorrow? I said, yep, he's going to come back tomorrow. So the next day I was there early, fourth row, I was sitting down and this guy gets up again. He starts preaching. My heart's on fire. And I thought, my goodness, never heard preaching like this, you know. And when he finished preaching, he said, everybody stand up. And I got up with everybody else. And he said, everybody raised your hands. And I raised my hands with everybody else. And we sang that old hymn, He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, He is Lord. And I tell you this, on the second chorus, the second time we sang the song, my hands were raised with everybody else. Now I'm in a mess. All right, I'm doing nicotine. I'm drinking, and I'm doing the party thing, and I'm standing there in the presence of God. And the preacher said this. He said the Holy Spirit is here. The moment he said that, something happened in that room. It was like heaven invaded that room, and it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that God was present, man. And a lady beside me, two seats beside me on my right, man, she collapsed to the ground. Somebody else, come. I knew God was in that room. My hands were lifted up, and in my heart, I said, God, I'm so messed up, but if you will touch me, if you will touch me, I give my life to you. And I don't know what happened in those few moments. There was a transaction. And the finger of God came and touched my fingertips. I could feel this fire coming down, like power coursing down my arm and then into my body. And suddenly, like a million volts of electricity, bam, the Spirit of God came upon me. And the first thing that happened was my legs went soft like jelly. I was going to fall. I couldn't stand up. Every part in me was on fire. Every cell in me was going to explode. Somebody asked me one time, Pastor, what does it feel like when the Spirit of God comes upon you? I said, just go back home. Unplug one of your sockets, put your finger in. It's the same thing, right? Jesus said, you shall receive power, P-O-W-E-R, power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And that was the defining moment in my life because it was like 20 minutes. The Spirit of God was upon me. I thought I was going to die literally because every cell in me was going to explode. But when the presence of God lifted up, I tell you this, I felt a joy that was unspeakable. It was the most amazing thing that ever happened in my life. And that was the moment I said, I want to get serious with God. I am going to give my whole life to Him. And it's been a wonderful journey since. Wonderful journey. Amen.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story there. How does it, tell me then a little bit about Cornerstone Church, how you went from that experience to founding and leading the church there, and what's it like today?
Yeah. Well, after I got, of course, this marvelous experience, I went to the university for 4 years. And it was in the university that God called me into full-time ministry. And then I worked for 6 years in the real estate arm of the largest bank in Singapore. But all the time there was this fire burning in my heart. I said, Lord, when are you going to call me into ministry? And, you know, every time I ask him that, he would say, you're not ready yet. You know, so I would wait for another year. I would ask the Lord, Lord, when are you going to call me into full-time ministry? He said, you're not ready yet. I would wait again. And, you know, then I started doing well in the company and they promoted me and then they promoted me again. And my bosses came to me one day and I remember them saying, you know, if you stay in this company, you've got a great future. And then the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to come to full-time ministry. Oh, my goodness. I had such a struggle. I'll be very honest with you. For 3 to 6 months thereabouts, you know, I struggled. But finally, I surrendered and I came into full-time ministry. It was the most difficult decision in my life. But I made that decision and then started the church. Now, for this first 5 years of the church, we were under the Anglican diocese, what you would call the Episcopalian Church in America. And then at the end of the 5 years, the Lord spoke to me very specifically. He said, if you don't come out from this, there's going to be like a glass ceiling, right? You're never going to go above this denomination. And I love the people there. I love the Anglicans, you know, many of them are my good friends, but I knew that this was the call of God for my life. So in 1995, we started my wife and I, Cornerstone Community Church. I've been in the ministry for 30 years. The amazing thing about Cornerstone, if you do not know, is that in 1998, we purchased a nightclub. A big nightclub, you know, and the story behind that is pretty amazing, but I won't go into that, but I'll just say we purchased a big nightclub for our church, and then we bought a second nightclub, and then we bought a third nightclub, and then we bought a fourth nightclub, and then we bought a fifth nightclub, and then we took a sixth nightclub, and then I took a pub, and then we took over a massage parlor. And, you know, I tell you this, God has anointed me for nightclubs. Yeah, I'm really anointed for nightclubs. When I see a nightclub, I get excited because I see the glory of God coming on these places, you know. And so we purchased 6 nightclubs. But I tell you what is the crown jewel of our ministry. In 2012, the Lord led us to the nation of Wales. And my hero as a believer is, there are a few heroes that I've got, but definitely one of them is Mr. Rhys Howells. Right? He founded what was called the Bible College of Wales. And in the 30s and 40s, it was the hub of spiritual activity in the United Kingdom. The most famous student that graduated from that Bible college is Reinhard Bonnke. And we were there and the Lord said they were going to demolish the building. And the Lord says, I want you to buy the Bible College of Wales, which we did. And I don't know if you ever heard of Dutch Sheets and Lou Engel, but they came to dedicate the building in 2015, 25th of May. It was a grand thing. J. John was there. All my friends were there. It was an amazing experience. And we have just graduated our 10th cohort of students from the Bible College. But that Bible College is unusual because it's famous around the world. I mean, you know, everybody has heard of the Bible College of Wales. And for what God did through Mr. Howells, he changed the course of world history because of the intercession. I am telling you, if you read the book Intercessor by Norman Grubb, it's one of the greatest books I think ever written. And when Hitler was warring against the United Kingdom, they prayed and they prayed, not as soldiers in the trenches, but like the spiritual RAF, you know, praying in the spirit. And they turned the course of World War II. They were always 2 steps ahead of Hitler. And they prayed and God gave them, I mean, it was seemingly overwhelming odds, but God turned the course of the war. Because of this amazing bunch of men and women at the Bible College of Wales. So I'm very, very honored to be connected with that, you know, to redeem that. Also, we redeemed the other chapel that was famous. There are 2 chapels that were famous during the Welsh Revival. One was Moriah Chapel, where Mr. Evan Roberts, the firebrand of the revival, preached. And there was another chapel called Pisgah, where he prayed. And Lord said to me, I want you to purchase Pisgah as well. So we purchased it. So Cornerstone owns 2 of the perhaps the most prized possessions of revival history in Wales. And you know, God is, although I was born in Singapore, but Wales is the land of my adoption, and that's amazing part of our journey. And finally, the last thing that is important is that we have planted cornerstone churches in over 24 different nations right now, and that's really the fastest growing segment of our community. It's the Cornerstone Global Network of Churches.
Fantastic. I mean, there's so much there that I could ask you more about. One thing maybe that I'll drill down on a bit is you mentioned that so many of the original like plants that you guys purchased were originally nightclubs there.
Yeah.
I have to imagine, what is it for you about like taking a nightclub and turning it into a church that like seems to speak to your spirit on some level?
Yeah, you know, I was inspired by a man called David Wilkerson. I don't if the cross played, you know, at Times Square Church. Well, David Wilkerson, I read an article about him. This is in the early 1990s, right? And the Lord had said to David to go back to New York City because he had a plan for his life there, in work in New York. And David Wilkerson was planning to retire in Texas. He said, I don't want to go back to New York. The Lord says, go back. He says, I don't want to go back. I want to retire in Texas. The Lord said to David, and this is documentable, if you go back to New York City, I'll give you a building that when you walk into the building, I'll take your breath away. And God gave him the Mark Hellinger Theater, which is the flagship of Broadway. I mean, it's right there in the heart of Times Square. Been there twice. It's one of the most beautiful auditoriums, elegant auditoriums in the whole planet. I mean, I remember the first time I walked in, man, God just took my breath away. It's a gorgeous place. So I was so inspired. I said, Lord, give me a building that when I walk in, you will take my breath away. And a few weeks later, an agent called me, says, this nightclub is for sale. So man, I go down and the first thing I see is a demon crucified on a cross. It's a sculpture. And then gargoyles on the left and right, and then cages where the girls would dance almost without any clothes on. You know, it's kind of like it was a wild place, man. And the Lord says, this is the place I have for you. And he just took my breath away, you know. And it took us 18 months, but we finally purchased the nightclub. And then one after another, we started purchasing. But the amazing story is that because I recognized that I had an anointing for nightclubs, we started praying over the whole neighborhood. And, you know, without any fear of exaggeration, I think we've seen over 40 to 50 nightclubs close down from a 1 mile radius from where we are. We were in an area that was pretty notorious, but now it's so upmarket, so snazzy. Everybody wants to live in this neighborhood, you know. But 25 years ago, there were fights and all kinds of things. But God has changed the whole place. Amazing story.
That's really cool. And I guess that brings me naturally to the next question, which is asking about, so you mentioned that the culture even near the churches is kind of changing. What is it like to be a Christian in Singapore right now?
Singapore has a secular government, but we're a multi-religious society, right? So you've got the four big religions are Christianity, Buddhism, and then you've got Islam, and then you've got Hinduism. And it's multiracial, right? Nobody is allowed to speak evil of another religion, which works extremely well for us. And we have all the freedom to praise and worship God in our churches, and also preach the gospel as well. So the stadium has been used by different people, and all the famous evangelists like Billy Graham and Reinhard Bonnke and Choe Yong-gi, they've all been to Singapore preaching in big stadiums. So there is no restrictions about these things. The only restriction is you can't speak derogatory about another religion. You can't speak in a way that is demeans another faith. And, you know, that works for us as Christians because there's no need for us to do anything like that. You know, so being in Singapore is great. We have total freedom of religion, and great.
Well, I imagine that's really interesting to me, because I feel like that would sort of, on some level, change the evangelistic model, but not really, because it forces you to be, to use an example here. So a lot of times in the US, I would imagine probably in Singapore as well, when we have elections, there's a lot of ads on TV for like politicians, and you can either be, sometimes the advertisements are by a politician are showing why they are great, and sometimes they're attack ads that are against their enemies. And I think it's interesting there that like the evangelistic system is such that it's like, no, we're not able to focus on, say, attacking another religion or pointing out why that's wrong. It is about bolstering and showing why Jesus is the best option.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. And so then what are some of the biggest like needs or problems currently facing Christians and believers in Singapore?
Yeah, the church in Singapore is matured. You know, we're about 20% Christianity, and the Christians are the percentage of Christians is a bit disproportionate because you've got the middle and higher upper income that are Christians, and you know we occupy a lot of senior positions in the government. I'm talking about the Christians, right? Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of affluence in Singapore. Singapore is the third wealthiest nation per capita GDP after Qatar and Norway. Both Qatar and Norway have oil. Singapore has no oil, but we have in the last 43 years become a backwater nation to becoming one of the powerhouses in the world today. And this is something that God, 53 years, I'm sorry. This is something God has done for our nation. He's blessed the nation beyond our wildest imaginations. And especially Christians. Christians have been prospered greatly. I think one of the biggest dangers that we have faced in Singapore is affluence. You know, it's like the church, the Laodicean church, and we fall into a bit of a spiritual rut. You know, when you have lots of money in the bank, you know, and you think to yourself, what do I need God for? I mean, in the back of your mind, you don't say it, but, you know, you need to buy something, you just buy it, you know, and people don't ask the Lord anymore because of the affluence. And I think that that is a big danger for us as Christians. You know, we don't have a lot of third world problems in our country. We have a lot of first world problems, you know, heart disease and obesity and, you know, diseases that are related to the affluent lifestyle. And that's where I think we have to be careful about the Christianity we have. So it becomes a very prosperity-centered Christianity because people always think and equate success with wealth, you know, and because I am wealthy, I'm successful, I'm being blessed by God. And that is not a very apt description of actually success in the eyes of God. It could be one, but it's not the only one.
So how do you go about countering that then in your church as a leader?
I think number one, people have to learn how to give, right? Everybody must be involved with the Great Commission, and there are three ways you can get involved. Either you give, you pray, or you go. One of these things, right? Everybody can pray, everybody can give, and maybe not everybody can go, but they can all go on a short-term mission trip, right? So this is the philosophy that we have in our church. I stand up, and I don't apologize for this, Taylor. I'll just stand up in the church and says, look, if you don't want to do missions, you don't like missions, this is not the place for you. There are other churches that you can go to, but you know, I make no apologies. If you want to be in Cornerstone, then you have to seriously think about these three things: give to missions, go, or pray. All right, and we all can do all three things. Right? So that it's the job of the pastor. You know, Taylor, all my life in ministry, 30 years, I've never in my life ever seen a pastor on fire, pastor at dead church. Never. If the pastor is on fire, the church is on fire. If the pastor is dead, the church is dead. If the pastor is on fire, you got one or two things. You either get on fire or you fire the pastor. You know? And I'm telling you, you know, that's the key. Right? Get the church on fire. Don't apologize for speaking what is right and what is true. You know, I tell my church all the time, I am sent to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Amen. And I make no apologies about this. We preach strong. We preach in the Holy Ghost. And people appreciate that in my church because they know that they're not going to get a soft, nice little message that says, oh, you are, God loves you so much and you can do anything you like. You know, no, sir. We preach the full gospel, and we're not seeker friendly. We are full on Pentecostal church, charismatic church. Yeah.
So I would assume then that you would describe your church as being very on fire.
I would think so. The church is done pretty well, and especially in this confinement period, it's just absolutely amazing. But the church, I would say, is on fire. Yeah. We're people pretty on fire. Yes.
Nice. So what are some of the ways that you're seeing the Holy Spirit at work in your church and your community right now?
Yeah, we're seeing a proliferation right now of prophetic, the prophetic anointing. Cornerstone is a very strong apostolic church. We're not just talking about apostles. We're talking about an apostolic leadership team, very forward-looking, prophetic in our nature as well. Our services are full-on charismatic churches, right? We sing in tongues, pray in tongues, you know. Whenever I get the mic from the worship leader, everybody pray in the Spirit, you know. We are not ashamed of tongue speaking. We are not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We want to make everybody who visit Cornerstone, we want to let them know we are a charismatic church and we do not apologize for it. And if you don't like it, like I said, there's many other churches you can go to, you know, but definitely we are full-on Holy Spirit church. And Singapore, the churches in Singapore are, I would say, 50% maybe more evangelical, and then about the rest of the churches are Pentecostal and charismatic churches. But the mega churches, all the big churches in Singapore, including New Creation Church, pastored by Joseph Prince, who's a friend of mine, City Harvest and Trinity. All these are big churches and they're all full-on Pentecostal charismatic churches.
That's great. And is that all just like, I'm just trying to think about like the significance of most of the biggest churches all being charismatic there. Is that a result of the renewal that you described from the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, definitely. So of course, you know, we've got the Pentecostal stream, these Assemblies of God and Church of God and all these churches. And then you've got charismatic churches that came out of the denominational churches. And so there's a bit of difference, but you know, there's great unity amongst us. And we have great unity with the evangelicals as well. There's no schism in the body when it comes to this matter. And so the church in Singapore is pretty united. I would say pretty united. The Holy Spirit is moving. I wish that we can be a bit more expressive in our Pentecostal charismatic expression. Sometimes you know how it is when we have people who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Generally, the charismatics and the Pentecostals will say, well, you know, let's not offend anybody. Let's tone down the meeting. And I think, man, that's when you should tone up the meeting, you know. And not be ashamed of the Holy Spirit, you know, just not be ashamed. Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that's all the questions I've got for you. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners, many of whom are Americans, to know about either your church or Singapore or things they can be praying for? Anything else?
Yeah, I want to just thank the American church for being such a blessing to us. You know, all my friends, well, I say a lot of my friends are Americans. And, you know, in our conferences, we've got people like Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker and Randy Clark. And this year, our conference was canceled because of the COVID-19, but we were supposed to have John Bevere, Daniel Colander, Patricia King. We were supposed to have Ben Fitzgerald, you know, and Heidi. Lou Engel has been to our church, Dutch Sheets, and I mean the whole gamut of charismatic speakers. We've had them in Cornerstone, or at least who have come to our nation. And so we are very connected with the church in America, deeply connected. And some of them are my really dear friends and mentors. And I'm just privileged, right? On Wednesday, we had our midweek service. Bill Johnson was speaking, and you know, it was pre-recorded message, but also he gave a greeting to the church for online service. And then 2 weeks from now, we have Artie Kendall, who's going to be speaking. And so we get a lot of we are interacting a lot with the American church, and I just want to go on record, Taylor, to say how much I appreciate the American church for being a blessing. You know, when you I'll close with this, sorry. When you travel a lot over the nations, you acquire something called cultural forensics. And what cultural forensics is that you can see a people's group and you can see something redemptive out of, you know, in that group of people. You go to Korea, man, they give us cell groups, right? If you understand about cell groups, it came out of Korea, but also this power of corporate prayer. I've been to South America and they understand spiritual warfare, you know, men like Ed Silvoso, Claudio Fridzon, they taught the world this, the principles of spiritual warfare. The Africans are the most exuberant people on the earth. You know, the Welsh people have given us more revivals than any other nation. But I tell you something about the Americans, and I'm so grateful. When it comes to leadership, no one comes close to Americans. The Americans must lead. And I feel like this is true in the natural. It's also true in the spiritual. When America leads in the natural, there, I feel like the whole, all the nations progress, right? But when America abdicates from that position, you find lots of problems because the anointing over the American people is the anointing of creativity and leadership. And it's the same in the church. When the Americans, there's a leadership anointing upon the church that is so amazing. There is a creativity with the American church that's unbelievable, second to none, right? And I'll be very honest, the East takes its cue from the West, and that's why it's so important that you guys teach us the right things, because we are very influenced by the church in America, not by the church in Europe, for sure, but the church in America has made a big, big influence. And I, for one, have been impacted by many of these men. So very grateful to what God has done through the church in America. And if I could just say thank you to the American church for being such an amazing blessing to the church in Singapore and Asia. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for that. And I do want to make sure, and part of the series is trying to do that, of making sure that that's also reciprocal. As you point out, God is doing, there's so many unique things happening in different countries right now or different continents. And mm-hmm. I want to make sure that our listeners who have the American perspective are able to glean from what God and the Spirit is doing everywhere in the world right now. If people wanted to, you mentioned that a lot of times the East takes its cues from the West. Mm. If some of our American listeners are wanting to read or get to know or learn from some from people in the East, who are some people that you would recommend that they listen to, find material from, that sort of thing that you think would give them a good picture if they don't know where to start?
We have quite a few controversial speakers that have big churches. I'll be very honest. I can't in a good conscience recommend some of them. I think that God is raising a very pure remnant in the body of Christ right now. Communication is not one of our, you know, for Singaporeans, we can communicate, right? But it's not one of our strong points. You know, it's like singing, right? I mean, we can sing and we can keep a tune, but you know, it's like the music is coming from battle and from elevation, and they're coming up with some amazing music, right? You know, so I don't know if we're ever going to come to that level of excellence and creativity, you know, and because it's not in us, right? So you might say, what is that? Then what can the church in Singapore teach? I tell you, the anointing of Singapore is two things, right? Organizational abilities and making money. Hallelujah. We're very good at doing that. Okay. And that's why I believe that the church in Singapore is called to be in Antioch, which is to fund the churches in the nations through the blessings that we have inherited. That is our calling, right? It's like Singapore is, the church in Singapore is like a banker, right? It's like a hub for the blessings to flow out into the nations. That's one. And number two, organizational abilities. That's why every major conference in the East is being held in Singapore, because I think that Singaporeans can organize things better than anybody else. That's our redemptive calling. You know, it's our anointing upon our lives. Yeah, but so I have to really stretch my, think about this a bit more, about who you can actually listen to. I'm sorry at this moment. I come up with a blank.
No, you're good. That even just
what you point out is great. I just always want to make sure that that we're able to, like, I think that everyone's got something to learn from someone else and something that they can teach someone else. So, Well, Pastor Young, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today and do this interview. I know it's really ministered to me, and I think it's going to really help a lot of our listeners as well. Would you mind closing us with a prayer?
Yeah, thank you. It's been my privilege to be on the program. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person listening into this program, every person dialing in, that the Holy Spirit will touch them, Lord, in Jesus' name, and the fire of the Holy Spirit will touch them, God. I pray, God, that you will stir their hearts, God. You will enlarge them, Lord. You will give them vision, Lord. You will release dreams and visions into their lives. Bless them, I pray, and their families, and watch over them during this confinement period, God, that we will emerge stronger, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of love and power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Pastor Young Tuck Jung here on the Charisma News Podcast as part of the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Taylor Berglund, and thanks for joining us.